Good morning again, my friends. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCB Radio. My friend, I hope the Lord is really ministering this word to your heart, and you are learning something from it. So let us open up our spirit and see what the Lord would have for us today. But let us go ahead and continue on with Occupy Till I Come, taken from the parable found in Luke 19, verses 11 through 27. Last week we looked at the first of 5 points that talk of the character of the nobleman, who I believe to be Jesus, and the character of the servants. Oh, the character of... You know, my friend, our number one focus in God's eyes is our character. Wow, our character. We saw that the nobleman trusted the servants with his money. So we concluded there must have been a training program, or the servant in some way has been trained in running the nobleman's business. After all, who would hire someone, give them some of their money to invest, and not have trained them or taught them lessons to be successful in running their portion of that business? Also, last week we made the parallel of how children in biblical days would undergo this process before they were adopted by their father and then able to speak for and represent the father and the entire family in the family business. Now, Paul, being a good Jew, he knew of this process and the significance of the training. So in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, Brother Paul writes to the believers in Galatia and to us also. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to reckon them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of the sons. Notice that we might receive the adoption of the son. Did you get that? That we might receive the adoption of the son. Now, Paul was not talking about being adopted into the family of God through some legal process as we know of adoption today. Oh, no. Paul was talking about this training process of the child being trained and tutored. And when they have learned their lessons of the family's business, then the father throws an adoption feast. Paul knew very well, every good Jew did, and even some Gentiles knew of this adoption process. It was a training then to a feast. So using symbolism and metaphors, Paul let us know, after we too complete our training, let me say that again, after we complete our training, and not before, after we learn the lessons the Lord has for us to learn, at the hands of the head tutor, which is the Holy Spirit, and at the hands of his children who have been authorized to speak for the Father. My friend, we must learn the lessons God has for us through his dealing and judgments in our life. Oh, my friend, this wonderful walk, this wondrous walk with the Lord, is far more than just believing Jesus died for our sins, which he did, don't get me wrong. But there is much more we must learn. There is more we must believe. There is more we must do to be able to engage with God in the earth as it is done in heaven. If no learning, then we shall be bastards or no sons of God. In Hebrews 12 and 8, and I believe the writer of the Hebrews is Paul, you know, he shares these words with us. But if, now if again is the most important word in the Bible because it sets the condition for receiving from God. But if ye be without chastisement, now that word chastisement is Strong's, in the Greek, 3809, and it means nurture, it means instruction, and it does mean discipline, but it's in that order, nurture, instruction, and discipline. Continuing on, wherefore, all are partakers, or all must partake of this process. Then are ye bastards, and not sons. Wow, did you get that? If you do not endure that chastisement, then you will be a bastard and you will not be a son. Wow. So, no training no learning our lessons, then we are bastards and not sons. Amen? Now this week we will get into our second point, which is the nobleman, again, who I believe to be Jesus. He did not tell the servants what to do, or maybe even more important, what not to do. Now here's the point. Since the nobleman trained the servants, the nobleman expected the servants to know what to do. And then again, on the other hand, maybe what not to do. So if the nobleman is the parable is Jesus, well, who do you think the servants are? Now, if you say, well, us, of course, well, then you will be partially right. But as Jesus was sharing this parable, he was talking about the nation of Israel. As a matter of fact, all of the parables in the Gospels, or, you know, shared by Jesus, was talking about the nation of Israel, talking about her spiritual sickness and lack, the prodigal son, the lost sheep, the lost coin. All of these parables were talking about the nation of Israel and her spiritual waywardness to God and his word and his ways. And so, too, this is why the parables in the gospel have bearing in our lives today. As they touch our waywardness to God, to God and his word and his ways. Yes, the nobleman Jesus expected the servants to do the right thing. The nobleman expected, he counted on his servants to invest the treasure he gave them. And he expected, he counted on his servants to make an increase, to produce an increase. So too, my friend, in our lives today, what the Lord has invested in us. Now, maybe not money or any of that stuff, but his spiritual goods. You know, that could be his talents or his gifts or his abilities. But God expects, he is looking, he is counting on us to give him back an investment. Again, it may not be money, but again, it may be so. Now, there's a spiritual truth that says God never gives open-ended. Let me say that again. God never gives open-ended. If God gives you $10, he expects you to give at least one of those dollars away. God is always looking for us to push forward, to increase in the things he gives us. Let me say that again. God is always looking for us to push forward and increase into the things that he gives us. Now, this is not a name it and claim it prosperity message. Oh, no, my friend. But the nobleman, it was no different. If you read the entire parable, you will see some servants gave back to the nobleman an increase, and some servants did not put forth the effort to give their nobleman what he was looking for. He trained them. He let them know what he expected, what he wanted to see, and then notice he turned them loose on their own to work for the master, to guess what? Occupy in their employment, to occupy in service, to occupy till he came back. And us today, it's no different. We are saved. The Father sees that we are trained if we allow him to. And then he sets us free to our own liking under the direction of the Holy Spirit and other children who can speak for the Father that have done those things and grown spiritually, that have the ability and the wisdom to speak for the Father. Now, here is the long pole in the tent, my friend. What do we do with what we have been given? Let me say that again. What do we do with what we've been given? Do we invest the nobleman's goods on ourselves, or do we invest the nobleman's goods into the lives of others? Sadly, most Christians and even some believers I know, just like in Jesus' day, invest what they have been given by God into themselves. They have not learned the lessons. They have not learned. Giving is at the heart of the gospel. And if the nobleman cannot make us a giver, then he cannot use us, for we have disqualified ourselves for service. Wow. Amen. Next week we will go ahead and get into that third point and occupy till I come. So this has been David Stahl at Beholding His Glory, hoping that you have a tremendous week to come, and looking forward to sharing that third point, and just hoping that this teaching has changed your life in a way, and that the Word is conforming you more to the character and the image of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless. See you next week. Bye.